Aloha. I'm Reverend Cindy Palos, and I've been talking about being an empath for a little bit. And on Insight Timer Live, I had a group on Sunday where we went into quite a few interesting points about being an empath. And there were some people who wanted me to put it down where they could listen to it again. So I decided to go through some of these points, which I think are very important. To find out if you are an empath, I really believe these days more evolved people, and as we evolve, and we are, and as we grow, I think more and more people are becoming sensitive, ultra sensitive, and able to sense things that maybe they couldn't a long time ago, maybe many people couldn't. But that's happening as we are seeing more people becoming aware, self-actualized, and meditating. You become more sensitive as you become more aware. As you grow, your energy field also grows. So I wanted to go down this list to determine if you are an empath. And then what you can do to really utilize the tools that are helpful if you are an empath. Now, when I went down this list, I found that it was overwhelmingly, yes, I'm an empath. I knew it anyway, but I hadn't heard it asked in these questions. So I'll go down this list and let you decide point by point. First, are you frequently described as overly sensitive? I know I have been. I'm sure you might have been told you're too sensitive. So that's one of the questions to determine if you're an empath. The next is, do you have a tendency to get overwhelmed or uncomfortable, especially in groups and large social gatherings? Now, for me, this one, I literally would feel like I always have to leave early. People really get upset with me. I've been invited to gatherings at people's homes, and I have to leave after about an hour, maybe an hour and a half. And I did have someone once say who would go to my friend's house and be there saying, oh, that's right, you're antisocial. And I had never had anyone say that to me before. And I said, well, maybe I am. But what happens is when you're an empath, you get all this energy of what people are thinking and feeling, and you kind of soak it in, and there's only so much you can take in at a gathering before you get overwhelmed. But I'll go over some things you can do with that if that's one of your issues. The next question is, do you constantly feel like the odd one out or find it hard to fit in? Now, I've felt that way since I was very young. I felt that way going through high school, et cetera, but I was meditating at that time, and I figured the reason like I didn't fit in is because I'm meditating, and at that time, hardly anyone was meditating when I started meditating over 50 years ago, but I never realized I felt like I didn't fit in because I was not in the same wavelength, so to speak, as other people there. Next question. Are you adverse to excessive external stimulation such as noisy environments or odors? Now, here's an example. I actually had a free membership to a gym. They were clients of mine. They gave me a free membership, and it was a big place. I think it was 24-hour fitness. And it was a large room. You know how those large gyms are, right? I was like, gosh, all this noise blasting, people watching TVs, like, all these people exercising, people talking, people drinking. I was like, whoa, I can't handle this. I could maybe stay a half an hour and then I'd want to leave, right? Now, if there was a yoga class in a separate room, I could usually handle that, you know, because that was a separate room and everyone was in the same space. But as far as the exercise room with the weights, it was very, very hard. Very hard for me. Do you feel put off or overwhelmed by incessant chatter and people who talk too much? Well, yes, that's me, but I do talk too much too. But yes, I have some people who will literally want to corner me and talk to me for like a half an hour. And maybe you've met someone like this where they literally want your eyes. You can't even look away, but they want your total attention. They will try to get your way. Now, I often, when I have this one person who does this, I try to look away or do other work and they still talk. Then they say something like, "Did you hear me? Or you, would you look at me?" And it's like, oh. And I always feel guilty, but I just can't handle like a half an hour of this person gossiping and talking and talking and talking. And same thing sometimes with people who aren't gossiping. It's just incessant. Like some people I know want to go on a walk and they want to talk for an hour during the walk. And for me, that's hard. I go out on a walk and I like to just be quiet and take in the energy of nature and the sky. And I never put the two and two together until I thought of that question. It's too much when I'm getting the beautiful energy of nature to try to talk to someone for any length of time, right? I mean, obviously some polite conversation, but solid talk is hard for me. I don't know about you. Does it bother you at all? The next question here, do you often prefer to take your own car to places so that you can leave early if you need to? Oh my gosh, when I thought of that one and saw that one, it's like, that is me. I always say, I'll meet you there. I'll take my own car because I want to leave early. Now, I hadn't put that together with the question of whether I was an empath, but I absolutely do that. Here's the other one. Do I find myself developing a stress coping mechanism to mitigate the damage from emotional overload, such as overeating or drinking alcohol? Wow, that's a big question, right? Yes, I am a stress eater. And if someone starts doing a lot of that talking, and or if someone tells me something and wants to get me off track, I will end up eating. And I'm becoming more aware of it, or trying to set only times that I eat, you know, or limitations. But yeah, and I also have realized over time that many sensitive people that I know do overeat because they feel pain so easily. They try to cover it up because when they eat, they don't feel that energy of pain as much. And not only that, sometimes if you're overweight or heavy, people do not want to talk to you as much, you know, so you have built up this firewall. By eating, you get heavier, and then people don't find you as attractive, and you don't have to deal with as much. It's strange, but think about it. Here's the next question. Do you feel like you tend to lose your identity in intimate relationships? Now, that's a very interesting question, isn't it? Because if we start getting into relationships here, a lot of people just take it for granted then when you get in a relationship, your lifestyle's going to change. We do know that. But do you lose your own identity? Many times people will. But the question is, do you have your balance of yourself in that relationship, or is your life being taken over and directed by the person you're with? That is a tipping scale, the tipping point, right? Of when you're giving up too much of yourself to be with the other person. I found that many times empaths are so sensitive to energy, to feelings, to being hurt, that they like to find someone strong to be with them that can watch over them. Remember that song, "Someone to Watch Over Me"? Someone to kind of be their buffer, right? But if you do that, and you allow that buffer to be your protector, what else are you giving up, right? You have to be aware of what the real deal is. It's an interesting point because I have looked a little bit about what empaths do in relationships, and it's very interesting how sometimes empaths will find someone to kind of be the one that will protect them. And in the end, they're not necessarily being protected. They're giving up their own identity sometimes. Here's the next big question. Am I easily alarmed? Now, that can happen a few ways, right? I mean, obviously, if a smoke alarm goes off, you're going to probably be very sensitive to that. That's meant to be. But if someone's walking by or something happens or someone says something from behind you and you know, don't know they're there, does that alarm you? You know, it sometimes happens. I'm renting a place now. I live on Maui, and I'm renting a place that's a guest cottage. I've always lived in very big houses because I do like my own space. But the prices here on Maui have gone up like 50% in the last couple of years. So now I have a very expensive guest house I'm living in. And for the first month or a month and a half I was here, the landlord would just pop over, sometimes still thinking like this was not being rented out, just come in and open the door and pop in. It freaked me out. It was like, I finally had to say, listen, I want my privacy. Please don't just come over. I mean, there'd be times I would just like be meditating or something like that. And it's like, whoa, you know, when you're meditating and someone walks in your space, especially if you're in a very different energy field, it can really shake you out of that vibration you're in. The next one is, do you have strong reactions to medication or caffeine? Or do you have a tendency to avoid confrontation and arguments? I think those are really two different questions. So let's just go with the strong reaction to medication and caffeine. Personally, that's one. I don't have a strong reaction to caffeine or medication. But one of the reasons that is being asked is because they've done studies and they found that people who are rather high strung or very sensitive sometimes are feeling so much that they can have their adrenaline system, their adrenals can be affected by all of this input they take. You know, you are working on more adrenaline when you're getting more easily affected by things, such as, you know, as I get affected by music or whatever, and I'm in a radio field, so I'm constantly doing talk shows and having to be on live many times. So yes, that does affect your adrenaline. But if you're in those situations, think about that. If you do have a strong reaction, I don't so much to caffeine or medication that I know of, unless I bury that. That one is for me a no. Then we'll go to the second part of the question, which I think is really a separate question. Do you have a tendency to avoid confrontation and argument? Yes, I do. I hate confrontations. I hate arguments. Is that you? I mean, I thought I hated those because I came from an abusive relationship. And that is also the tendency, if you've been in an abusive relationship, to avoid confrontation and arguments. But it's also one of the signs of someone who is overly sensitive. If someone gets into screaming at you or talking loudly or fighting with you, your system as an empath can be very, very hit, like literally, like you feel like it's a physical blow. It can literally put you in a spin. And so if you've been an empath for a long time and not aware of this, you may just completely try to avoid any situation, even standing up for yourself when you're right, where you have to confront someone. You know, this comes down to even doing things like asking for a raise when you should be asking for a raise, or standing up like I had to my landlord saying, don't just come over at any time, you know. It was hard for me to say that. It took me months to finally say that. And I felt guilty after I did. I did. Because I'm so sensitive and I don't want to hurt anyone. But this is when I put this in perspective as being a trait of an empath, it put it in a different light for me. This is one that I find interesting, the question, if you're an empath, do you have a low threshold for pain? Now, for me, I do not have a low threshold for pain, but I could certainly understand if you're very, very sensitive, where you could. What I actually do, because I actually have to go to surgery here pretty soon in a couple of days, I just go, and I've learned this through a lifetime of meditation, I literally go into a state of samadhi or nirvana. And if I'm going to go through this, I'm going to try to bring my headphones in. I have to go through the surgery, see if they'll let me listen to my music. When I go into that zone, I can really get past feeling the pain. I've just learned that. I'm not past feeling all pain, but it helps me when I remove myself from my body to feel less pain. Here's another interesting question for you. Am I likely to prefer alone time and tend to socially isolate? My gosh, for me, that is 100%. I love to be alone. Now, here I am working in media and radio, and I do interviews, and I do talks, and I'm around a lot of people. And I think that, in a way, is what I chose to do, because, truthfully, when I got into radio after I had an illumination experience at a young age, I figured I had to serve and get my messages out. But if I was in radio, I could be behind the microphone, and I wouldn't have to have as much one-on-one person talking, but now I do because I do a lot of interviews. I have the longest running talk show on Maui, so I'm doing interviews every week. But you know what? With empaths, it's interesting. You can, as an empath, usually deal with one-on-one conversations much easier than you can a large group. And I have to say that I think the traits of empaths are wonderful for people who want to do their own podcasts or interviews, because people such as empaths are very, very telepathic, compassionate, understanding, and they're good listeners. So it makes for a great interview, and people love to be interviewed by you. I have people say, I've never felt so comfortable. I've never liked doing interviews, but I love talking to you. A lot of times I know what they're going to say before I even ask the question out of them, because I can sense that, right? So it makes it a wonderful trait for you. But when I have a chance to walk in nature, I have friends say, let's take a walk together. And if I get bugged enough, I'll do it. And I always think, gosh, I would have rather have walked alone. So I feel guilty sometimes, but truly I like being alone. And my alone time is really important for me. Here's one. Do you find yourself absorbing other people's emotions, distress, or even physical symptoms? Now, isn't that an interesting question? Because I've done healing. I'm a Reiki master. I've taught Reiki. And I did find when I was doing some heavy-duty Reiki that I would take on some of the issues and ailments of the people I was with. I had a very dear friend I was doing a woman's circle with, and she got breast cancer, and I was giving her Reiki. I landed up getting so sick and having the worst headache. She felt better, but I couldn't do it anymore, and I had to stop. I wish I could have kept on. I did send long-distance Reiki, but if you're someone who does take on that energy, you might really be aware that you need to do extra protection around yourself if you're going to do Reiki, or you might do long-distance Reiki. The next one is, are you easily distracted? And I am. This is very dangerous if you're on Facebook, social media. Oh, it's so easy to go down that rabbit hole, right? You know how you can get caught. Mean to go to one thing, next thing you know, you're going to something else, and next thing you're somewhere else, and next thing you know, it's like, wait a second, this has been an hour now. Distractions really are an interesting thing. I have to find some really deep concentration and focus to get my work done a lot of times. And I can get off subject if I get distracted. Here's a good one. Do I prefer freedom and independence and hate structure and controlled environments? Yes. I love my freedom. I love my independence. I like a fixed schedule that I create. But I don't like, and I, you know what? I've never, ever worked for a big company. Of course, being in radio, with owner-operator situation that I'm in, It's really pretty nice because I don't have to do that. But I don't think I could ever work for a big company. It's just not in my nature. And if you're an empath, you probably know what I'm talking about. Okay. Do you find nature rejuvenating? Oh, gosh, yes. I walk in nature every single day. I get up in the morning, I meditate, and then I go out and do yoga on my front lawn in nature. I love nature. Nature's my church. Nature's my healer. Nature's my retreat center. Nature's a time to recharge my batteries, because nature will do that, right? Next one, does it take a long time to relax after a long day and after interacting with people? Well, see, that's why I go for a walk after I do my work in the day at 4 o'clock, or around 4, I go for a walk every day. And I have to say, that's my chance to let go of what happened at work and what was going on. Do you feel better in quiet environments such as the countryside than you do in a bursting, bustling environment such as cities? Well, for me, I'm sitting here on Maui, and I'm on a couple of acres. And yes, I'm paying a very hefty price of $3,800 a month for this little cottage I'm in, but I'm doing it because at least I have some nature around me. I have birds chirping out there. I've got trees. I have grass. I have my plants. And yes, I absolutely prefer nature and countryside to a big city. Next one, do you find one-on-one interaction better than group interactions? Oh, come on, yeah. Don't you? Do you? I find one-on-one always the best way. But of course, it's interesting now that we've gone through COVID for a couple of years. I don't mind the Zooms, you know, because basically on Zoom, even though you may have a group of people, I'm a member of the Grammys, and sometimes when they have the get-togethers there, there could be up to 50 people. But usually there's just one person talking, and they even create side chat rooms and things. So it doesn't feel overwhelming for me if it's on Zoom that way. And so if you had 1 to 5 yes answers, you're a partial empath or have that tendency. If you had 6 to 10 yes answers, you're a moderate empath. 15 plus yes answers, you're a full-blown empath. I'd like to give people who are empaths a few wonderful tips on things that I think are wonderful tools you can use to make the most of your gifts. Because being an empath is a gift, even though there's some challenges you have to deal with. Number one, I always say, put an armor of white light above you, below you, in front of you, behind you, to either side of you, 6 feet of beautiful white light. Do that every morning and make it a brilliant white light, a huge bubble egg-like shape of white light around you. It's a armor of protection. Seal it with gold, and you will be protected by a lot of negative energy that way. I do it every day. I also say the prayer of protection every morning when I meditate, and I find it very, very, very helpful. I think taking walks every day is a wonderful thing, a wonderful tip for you. I think you should have a sacred place you have for meditation and to go to outside in nature for recharging your batteries. I love sacred oils. Find the oil that is right for you with a good quality oil to use to put on you. It helps maintain your center and your core if you're wearing it. I put it in the palm of my hands every morning and on the bottom of my feet. Have sage handy if you need to clear off some negative energy that you've taken on. When you go outside, if you have a grassy area, go barefoot for a while and let that energy just cleanse you from the highest point of light all the way through and down and around your body and out your feet. Every night before I go to sleep, I take a circle of blue and gold light from the highest light and I spiral it down in a circle it's about 6 feet wide, coming down, 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 all around your head, down your body, down your whole torso, down through your feet. And I do that clearing energy, that bathing in that blue and gold light in a spiral of light three times. So that also is extremely helpful. And doing yoga is also a very, very helpful thing to do. Because as you start to move like you do when you walk or do yoga and you maintain your meditative atmosphere, you're learning to shield yourself with the highest energy as you're moving, not just on your mat when you're sitting. There's so many wonderful things to do if you're an empath. Do take a look at the gifts you get. There's many kinds of empaths. I happen to be one attuned to spirit, and I love the creative energy that comes. So I always write down what I get. You know, possibly you could have a talent where you could be doing interviews, or possibly you have a piece of art you'd like to create, or some music or poems. I mean, there might be many things you could do to help in counseling. Empaths make wonderful counselors. Just make sure if you're counseling someone that you clear the energy off of you, because you can take on a person's energy. So make sure you do a cleansing and clearing process. I also like to say sometimes taking a nice bath with wonderful oils is really good to be part of the cleansing process. Now, those are a few things you can do. I mean, it's been just an amazing experience in my life understanding the gifts and the tools you can use if you're an empath. And I was asked, and I wanted to share the prayer protection, because I did that in the live one as well. And I'm also going to print it out so that you can also see it on the subject matter here, because I like to do this as a way of protection in the morning. It goes, Beloved Heavenly Father and Mother, who are in heaven as on earth, beloved angels and masters and guides, Christ and all those who are here to protect me, I come before you asking for your help in all things that I do. I ask for your holy protection always, at all times, and in all situations. I'm so grateful for the good and the grace of protection you provide, so that I may serve the will of God. I ask for further round-the-clock protection for myself and my loved ones, so we may not be pawns or tools of darkness, and that the work we are here and that's meant to be done in this world will not be disrupted or delayed in any ways, but will proceed with ease, peace, and blessings. I call for solid protection around all of those who I'm working with and working in projects with. Keep them in the highest light, immune from negative poles of the world, people, and spirits. Keep us happy and seeing the truth in every situation and free from judgments against our brethren. Keep us always alert to potential dangers coming from any source whatsoever. And may we always have an avenue of escape from danger or mishap whenever necessary. Let us truly be instruments of the divine, seeing clearly what would be the best course of action to take, if any, in every situation before us. Speak words of wisdom and counsel into my listening ears, and see to it that I'm always surrounded by angels of light, protection, wisdom, and love. Let me truly reflect the presence of God on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, God, Christ, Mother Mary, and all the heavenly hosts and wonderful guardians who protect me. Lord Michael, before me, Lord Michael, behind me, Lord Michael, to the left and right of me, Lord Michael, above and below me, Lord Michael and Christ, wherever I go, I am its love protecting here. I am its love protecting here. I am its love protecting here. May you always be protected and a wonderful instrument for the divine to flow through you with ease, grace, and blessings. I love you. God bless you always.